keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's fountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Hear the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach that golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that as much as we did. Enjoy.
Go.
And got up here and sang for us. And that's the first time we had ever seen a ukulele bass. Brother Gary plays an electric bass down there, kind of a big size bass, but we'd never seen a ukulele bass before. And Aaron, the minute she saw it, said, "I want one." And it just so happens that her birthday was just a few days ago, and so for her birthday she got a ukulele bass. So she's only had that since the 30th of May, and she just started playing at home, and she's already ready and got it down fairly good. A lot of more things she can learn on it, but that's fun. We enjoyed that. So I hope you did too, because you're going to hear a lot more of it. Now that we've got it, we got to put it to use, so we'll enjoy that. All right, pray for the Marietta Bible College. The summer session will start this Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock. I'll be teaching the first 50 Proverbs, not all in one day. But they're going to, the summer in Psalms is what they've called it. And there's three different teachers. I'll be teaching Psalms 1 to 50. I'm not sure who's teaching, but another one, Brother Joe Offenberger is teaching. Brother Tim Jane, from down in West Virginia is teaching. And each of us have 50 Psalms to teach. So we've got to do 10 Psalms every Tuesday. So Tuesday between 9 and 10, I've got to get 10 Psalms done and ready. So I've already started working on all that. But you pray for the students. Brother Jane tells me there's about 20 of them signed up for the summer session. So it'll be 5 weeks long. So we'll look forward to spending that time with them. All right, the book of Revelation tonight. Let's sing a couple choruses as you're finding your place there in Revelation 21. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. Revelation chapter 21 tonight. We looked last week at the first 8 verses. We called that voices, the voices from heaven. John said, and I saw in verse 1 a new heaven and a new earth. In verse 2, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of the tabernacle of God. So the voices from heaven in verse 1 to 8. Tonight we come down to verses 9 to 27. And we see not the voices from heaven, but the vision. The vision from heaven. He said in verse number 2, John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. In verses 9 through 27, now we have a description. A description of that city that comes down from God out of heaven. You're in Revelation 21. Don't lose it. But turn back to John chapter 14 real quick. Let's set the stage for what we're looking at tonight. We're going to look at the description of the place, folks, where you're going to spend eternity. If you're going to spend eternity there, don't you want to know what it looks like? Kathy, you're moving from your trailer that you've lived in for several years. You're moving into an apartment. Did you look at the apartment before you moved into it? Did you look to see what it looked like? All right. Not too many people, and it wouldn't really be a smart move to just take something at face value. Just say, oh, you have something available? I'll take it. It's kind of nice to look at it and see what you're getting into. Well, have you ever considered what the New Jerusalem looks like? What is that place? I mean, we know if it's made by the Lord, we'll take it at face value. It beats the lake of fire, that's for sure. But God does give us a detailed description of this place. Notice in John chapter 14, verses that you're very familiar with, Jesus said this to his disciples 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, he said in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Notice verse 2, in my Father's house, notice the next word, in my Father's house are many mansions. 2,000 years ago, and for the last 2,000 years, when a believer left this world, they inherited a mansion. They went to that place that Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. But then he says, in verse number 3, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, wait a minute. Why do you need to prepare a place for me if there's already many mansions? He said, there are many mansions, but I go to prepare a place for you. Can I tell you that the folks that are in heaven right now, and please listen carefully, heaven is a wonderful place. We want to go there. And our loved ones and friends and neighbors that have passed on are in heaven right now. But and this is worldly explanation. Can I tell you this? And I'm even nervous to say it. Heaven's going to get an upgrade. We're going to get bumped up from first class from commercial to first class. Heaven's going to get an upgrade. Now that sounds very unusual, but can I tell you this? Heaven, as wonderful and glorious as it is right now, where the saints of God are right now, is not even as good as that place that Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That place is this new Jerusalem in John chapter 21. It's not been built yet. It's not been presented yet. It is future. Again, those folks that say the book of Revelation was written in 60 AD or 65 AD, and it was all talking about Nero when he took the throne in 70 and Jerusalem was destroyed and all these things, and he was the Antichrist that we read about in Revelation. They say all this stuff is past. They're nuts. Where's the new Jerusalem? Where is this place that we're going to read about tonight if all this is already past tense? This place is still being prepared right now by God. The God that could speak everything into existence as we know it in instance right now is taking His time building this place. It's going to be some kind of place. It's that place that 1 Corinthians told us about. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Folks, we're going to this new Jerusalem. And that's the place that John sees coming from God out of heaven. Let's look at some things about this city tonight. First of all, let's look at the majesty of the city in verse 9 to 14. As we talk about the vision from heaven, look at the majesty of the city. Verse 9 to 14. And there came unto me, John says, one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. There's all those sevens. And talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. This is not the old city of Jerusalem. This is that new Jerusalem, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Let's look at the majesty of this city. Notice John says in verse number 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, full of the seven plagues. Look back, if you would, in Revelation chapter 17. Because this angel we've been introduced to before. This angel has a tremendous responsibility in task in the last days. In chapter 17, it said in verse number 1, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. This same angel, having the seven vials of the seven plagues, says the same thing to John in chapter 21 that he said in chapter 17. He says, come hither. The angel invites him to come and to see, and we're going to see some more similarities in just a moment of what this angel says to John. He invited him in chapter 17 to come and see the great whore. You remember that city, Babylon? He invited him to come and see the great whore. Now, in Revelation 21, he comes and invites him to come to see the great wife. The Lamb's wife, the bride of Christ. This angel has an unusual responsibility of casting out one and bringing in the other. Casting out the filthy and bringing in the pure. And he says to John, John, come hither and I will show thee. I'm thankful that John was obedient. I'm thankful that when the angel said, John, come hither, John didn't say, what if I don't want to? John didn't say, why? Why do I have to come hither? Why don't you come to me? The angel said, John, come hither, and there's no argument, there's no objection, there's no questioning. John just comes over and is obedient and comes. I'm glad he did, or we wouldn't have this description of the New Jerusalem. If John hadn't been obedient, we would miss out on what we're about to read. There's a wonderful lesson there for you and I, folks. When the Lord says, come, come. When He says, jump, as we say it, say, how high? When the Lord moves us to do something, just do it. Worry about the questions later. Just be obedient. He says to John, come hither and I will show thee. And John came. And it says, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. John is looking and he sees the new Jerusalem come down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. We talked about that early last week in this chapter. But it's not the city that's the bride. It's the person that's in it. If a man says, come to my house, I want you to come to my house and meet my wife. The house is not the wife. The wife is in the house. When they say to John, I want you to see the bride, the Lamb's wife, it's not the city. We're going to look at the city, but it's who's in the city that makes it the Lamb's wife. We are the bride of Christ right now. We're espoused to Him. One of these days we're going to get married and then we'll be His wife. And so John is saying, the angel is saying, come and see the bride, the Lamb's wife. So in this majesty of the city, we're going to see four things. First of all, we're going to see the bride. And that's what we're looking at right here. The bride in the city. As beautiful as the city is, it's the bride that gives us its glory. Why build a wonderful, magnificent, beautiful palace for nobody to be in? The whole purpose of the New Jerusalem is for it to be occupied. The whole purpose of this glorious city that the Lord is building, that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. The whole purpose is for people to dwell there. It's not being built to be empty. It's not being built to be unoccupied. It's built for people to move into. And you move in there by faith in Jesus Christ. So it's the bride in the city. Those that are inside the city are those that 2 Corinthians 11:2 told us were espoused to Christ. Right now we're engaged to Him. We're to be faithful in our engagement period. We're to have no other gods before Him. We are to be faithful in our conduct, in our purity, in our morality, in our conversation, because we've been espoused to Christ. We've got a goal to live up to, folks. We've been espoused to Him. The Bible told us in Revelation 19:7 that we are making ourselves ready to be presented to the bride. Or to be presented to the groom. Now in Revelation 21, we will be the bride, the Lamb's wife. Back here in Revelation, we'll be back in 17 in just a moment, so don't lose it. But here in Revelation 21 and verse 10, he says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. He carried me away in the spirit. Now look back at chapter 17 and verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit. Alright, the same thing happens in chapter 17 and chapter 21. Only in chapter 17, John is being brought to see the destruction of the filthy bride. The destruction of the filthy woman, the whore. But in chapter 21, he's being brought to see the presentation of the wife. The presentation of that which is holy and pure. In verse number 3 of chapter 17, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. In chapter 21, he carried me to a great and high mountain. It's better to have your spirit. Notice it's a small s. It's not a capital S. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's your spirit. John in his spirit. It's better to be carried to a high, great mountain than to be carried away into the wilderness. Chapter 17, he was called into the wilderness, and what he beheld he didn't want to see. But when he was brought to the great and high mountain, what he saw there was what pleased him and what made things look good to him. The bride in the city, verse number 10. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem. This is the new Jerusalem of verse number 3. He says it is descending out of heaven from God. Verse number 2 said, coming down from God out of heaven. I want you to notice that the Bible never tells us or never says that this city actually comes down and makes contact with the earth. Remember, we've already said in chapter 21, verse 1, there's a new heaven and a new earth. There is a new earth. No more sea on it. We talked about that last week. It's a great planet, all made to be inhabited, and it's going to be inhabited in eternity. And at the same time, there's a new Jerusalem that comes from God out of heaven that does not make contact with the earth. Now, a lot of what we're reading about, we are speculating because we simply do not understand it. Anyone that says they understand everything in the Bible is lying to us. There's a lot of stuff, especially this stuff that's way off in the future. We can read about it, look at it, but we won't really get it until we see it. No matter how accurate I could be in trying to portray verbally what this is going to be like, when you see it, you're going to say, "Preacher, you didn't tell us the half. The half has not been spoken." Because we can't comprehend what it's like. But the best I can see, this new Jerusalem comes down from out of heaven. John didn't know what a satellite was 2,000 years ago. John didn't know what one of these planes was that can just hover right over the ground. But what I see is this city coming down from God out of heaven, and it's hovering above the earth. It's not making contact with it. It's a new heaven and a new earth. And this new Jerusalem comes down from heaven and is suspended above the new earth. We'll talk about that more as we move on from here. This is that city. This is that city that Abraham was looking for. Look back at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. This is a city that had been promised from the very beginning and that Abraham was searching for. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse number 10. The Bible says that Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I believe Abraham had a revelation of something that's not recorded in Scripture. I believe that when he went out of Ur of the Chaldees, he was looking for this very city. He wasn't going to find it, but what else would lure him out of Ur of the Chaldees? What would get him away from home? But God saying, "Abraham, I've got a place for you, and you're not going to believe it when you see it." Now, Canaan was not bad, filled with milk and honey and all that kind of stuff, but that's not the city that Abraham was expecting. He was looking for a city that had foundations and whose builder and maker is God. You know what Abraham was looking for? This thing we find in Revelation chapter 21. We saw that the bride in the city, then we see in verse number 10, we see the builder of the city. The builder of the city. It descends out of heaven from God. You remember Genesis chapter 11? When those feeble ancestors of ours thought they could build a tower that would reach into the heavens. And the God that sits in the heavens shall laugh. And he just sent down and confused their languages. And the city just fell kaput. Well, there's a city coming that's being built by God. And when that city shows up, we are going to be in awe. We get to go from this place, even at the rapture, we get to go into heaven and experience that. But then we get to go from there into the new Jerusalem. This city coming down from God out of heaven. The bride, the builder, verse number 11. The brightness of the city, verse number 11. Having the glory of God. Having the glory of God. Do you know how bright that is? We have replaced some light bulbs downstairs. We've got some light bulbs. You can tell the difference between the white ones and the yellow ones up above my head. You know which ones are the bright ones? The new ones. We can make the brightest, most glorious thing we can make down here, and it won't compare to the brightness of that city. You're going to have to be in a supernatural body to handle it. Because the greatest shades you could put on would not be able to make your eyes handle the brightness of that city. It would be like looking right into the sun direct 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from a close distance. That's the brightness of that city. And so the Bible says it has the glory of God. The city will not reflect light like the moon does. The city will not even generate light like the sun does. The city will originate light. It will originate light. We're going to see it and when we get to chapter 22 that this light is going to shine on the earth that's below it. And the earth that's below it is going to be, that brightness is going to be so bright that not only will it light up the top part of the earth and the sides of the earth, but it's going to light up the underside of the earth. That is physically possible. or physically impossible. That is scientifically not existent, that a light at the top can light up everything around it. But we're talking about God. God's not restricted to science, the scientific facts. This light's going to be so light that the whole universe is going to be bright, lightened by its glory. This is going to be the brightness of that city. This city will be the dwelling place of God for all eternity. And we're going to live in that city with Him. Right now, He's sitting on a throne. And the saints of God are round about that throne. But in that day, it's not a throne and not sitting round about. It's Him in that city, walking among His people, dwelling among them. And He'll be their God and they will be His people. The city in that place. And her light, it says in verse 11, her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The jasper can be different colors, they tell us. But the most translucent or the brightest of the jasper stones is what we would call a diamond. The clearness and the clarity of a diamond. And the brightness of that city is going to shine like diamonds all over it. You can't draw that. You can't put that on a Hollywood picture. We can't manufacture that by our hands today. That's how glorious it's going to be and how bright that city will be. Notice then verse number 12 as we talk about the majesty of that city. We've seen the bride. We've seen the builder. We've seen the brightness. Verse number 12. And had a wall. Isn't that something that God builds a wall around the New Jerusalem? And had a wall great and high. And had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. Remember what Abraham said? Looking for a city whose foundation and builder was God. And had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The border of the city. It had a wall great and high. We're going to read in just a little while in some further verses. We'll read about the height of that gate. But just notice it says the wall of the city had 12 foundations. We'll read about those foundations in verse number 14. And in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The foundation of that place will bear the names of the 12 apostles. You might want to write down the reference, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, the Bible says, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. The foundation of that city, we'll talk about its size in just a moment, the foundation of that city is going to have roundabout on its four sides, probably 3 on each side, names of the 12 apostles. The foundation of the church. Because the people that dwell in that city are the church. It's the New Testament saints. Now, we get ahead of myself, but I'm telling you this. The Old Testament saints don't live in the New Jerusalem. The tribulation saints don't live in the New Jerusalem. Those from the millennium, what happens to all those people at the end of the millennium when we go from the millennium into eternity? What happens to the people still living at that time? They don't go to the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is for the church. Its foundations are the 12 apostles. And Ephesians tells us that that's the foundation of the church. We get to live in the New Jerusalem. The measurement of the wall and the materials of the wall will be given in just a little bit. But the foundation is talked about, and it says in verse 12, and it had 12 gates, 3 on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. And at the gate, 12 angels. Notice the prominence of the 12. The 12. 7 times in these verses, the number 12 shows up. 7 is the number of perfection. 12 is the number of government. And so the combination of 7 and 12 in this day shows us that for the first time since the Garden of Eden, the world is going to have perfect rule, perfect government, perfect instruction. It's not going to happen Not even in the millennium, because at the end of the millennium there's a rebellion. It's not going to happen till the New Jerusalem in eternity. Three on the east, three on the north, three on the south, three on the west. 12 gates. So you've got a city that's four square. And on each of the sides, north, south, east, and west, there's three gates. And at each of the, and it says in verse number 14, or verse 12, at the gates, 12 angels. They're the guardians of the gates. And it tells us in verse number 27 that no one can enter in except those that are written in the Lamb's book of life. So these angels are standing guard at the 12 gates of the New Jerusalem. Again, some folks read all this stuff back into the millennium, but none of that happens in the millennium. But in the New Jerusalem, there's this big city with 12 gates, and at every gate there's an angel, and he's checking passports. We'll talk about that more in just a little bit. Saying, preacher, I never heard any of this stuff before. Well, I hadn't either, till I started studying this stuff and looking at what's going on here. So here we've got that those 12 gates and these angels that are guarding there, and it says, and names written thereon on the 12 gates. Every gate has a name written on it. Which are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now here we go. The church age saints dwell in the New Jerusalem. The Old Testament, tribulation, and millennial saints dwell on the earth. And they are able to enter into the New Jerusalem through their respective gates. There's 12 gates in that city. There are going to be, and I know I'm just blowing your mind, there's going to be earth dwellers for eternity. Those earth dwellers have access to the New Jerusalem. But they can't stay there. They're not part of the church. They're saints. They're redeemed. They belong to God, but God has given them a different inheritance. The meek shall inherit the earth. Remember when Jesus told that to his Jewish disciples back in the Sermon on the Mount? And these Jewish people from the Old Testament and tribulation and millennium are going to be able to come in, and we'll read that at the end of chapter 21. We're kind of getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but they'll come and go into that city, but they can't stay there. The gates are never shut, but they can't stay there because they don't have the required passport. We all have the name of God written in our forehead. We've already read that. We've all got the name of God written on our forehead. Those in the New Jerusalem and the earth dwellers. And I use earth dwellers. That's the term that J. Vernon McGee used. And I thought, well, that's a good term for it. There's those in the city of New Jerusalem and those that are dwelling on the earth. And those dwelling on the earth get to go in and out of the gates into New Jerusalem. And we'll read about that again at the end of chapter 21. But they can't stay there permanently because the earth is their inheritance. And so they have the name of God in their forehead, but they don't have the name of the city in their forehead, which the Bible said that the church does. They have the name of God in their forehead and the name of the city. Whatever it is, New Jerusalem, whatever that is, it's going to be tattooed on our forehead. It's going to be visible in our forehead. Again, we say tattooed. We don't understand the technology of heaven. It's not going to have to necessarily be visible there, but only those that have that city dwell in the city. The others dwell on the earth. All right, have I shaken you up enough yet? Verse number 13. On the east, three gates. On the north, three gates. Think about this. If that's not true, why are there gates? Why do you need a wall? Why do you need a wall around the New Jerusalem? Who's going to attack it? Who's going to come after it? Who's going to try to get out of it? And then there are gates. There's three gates on each side of that wall. Well, the reason is for those that do come in and go out. So there are going to be those that they'll go in and out and find green pasture. All right, that's what Jesus said. So in verse number 13, no, verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. We've looked at the majesty of that city. Let's try to get one more thing in tonight, and that's verse 15 to 17. And that's the measurements of the city. Isn't the Lord gracious to give us details? He doesn't have to. The builder and maker is God. He's the designer. He's the architect. He can make it, and we can just hold our breath and see what it's like. But he gives us a glimpse of it. And in verse 15 to 17, he tells us the measurements of that city. Look at verse 15. And he that talked with me, the angel talking to John, had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. So they're going to measure the gates, the city, the gates, and the wall with a golden reed. Now, as we read the measurements, try to imagine what this golden reed looks like. I've seen tape measures that go up to 100 feet. That's a pretty good size. I don't know if they make tape measures that go more than 100 feet. This is a golden rod. How long is it? Well, look at what he's measuring. Verse number 16. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. So here's what the angel does. He gets this reed. It's not a tape measure. It's a stick. It's a reed. And he puts it down and he measures. He starts on the corner and he puts it down. He lays it down to here. He comes to where it ended. He picks it up. He lays it down again. And he goes to the whole distance all the way around the city measuring that. Now I know that I can't comprehend how that's done, because that would take a long time. Because it says it's 12,000 furlongs. A furlong is an eighth of a mile. So this angel is measuring one wall on one side, and it's 12,000 furlongs. You know how 12,000, you know what 12,000 times an eighth of a mile is? Quick mathematicians. It's 1,000, did I say furlongs, one eighth of a mile. It's 1,500 miles. So one side of the city, let's say the north side. The north side of the city is 1,500 miles wide. Then it comes down the east side, 1,500 miles. Then it goes across the south side, 1,500 miles. Then it goes back north from the west side, 1,500. It's built four square, 1,500 miles on either side. You know how big that city is? This isn't Los Angeles. This isn't Chicago. You know what 1,500 miles is? That's Canada to Florida. That's the Mississippi River to the Atlantic coast. That's one city. That's this New Jerusalem. 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. But again, the angel would have been worn out with a measuring stick, measuring 1,500 miles all the way around that. I'm not sure how he did it. It's some kind of scientific thing that we've not come across yet. But that is a big city. A laser? All right, Dave's got it figured out. It's a laser. It's not a golden reed. It's a golden laser. All right? Somehow he measures that city, and it's 15. Now think about this. Did you know the place that you're going to live for eternity is 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500? Those of you that like to go to Florida, you can go to the southern part of that city anytime you want to. It gets too warm down there, you can go to the northern part of that city. You want to go out west, go to the western side. You want to hit the coast, go to the... Now, I know it's not going to be like that. It's going to be a perfect temperature. My part of the city of Jerusalem is going to be about 60 degrees. Some of you want it to be about 80 degrees. I don't know how God's going to work all that stuff out. But we're going to be in that city. That's the size of that city. Can I tell you this? If that city was made to be inhabited, and it is, don't you know there's going to be a lot of people in that city? I know we're a minority in the world right now. We are. The true believers in Jesus Christ are few compared to the world's population. And it's been that way all down through the ages. But can you imagine if you go back and start, and we're talking about New Jerusalem, the church, if you go back to Pentecost and start from then till now, in all the people, in all the lands, in all the countries, in all the languages that have received Christ as Savior, we're all going to live together in that big city. It's going to be plenty big for all of us. And there's going to be plenty of room for everybody. It's 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. And he that talked with me had a golden rod to measure. And he measured the city and the gates and the wall. And the city lieth four square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Now, talk about some scientific theories that we can't comprehend. The height of it is 1,500 miles. I've seen all kinds of pictures. All the commentators trying to draw it. 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500. It's a cube. It's a four-sided box with a top on it. It's got a lid on it. It's 1,500 miles high. I've seen it drawn as a pyramid, where the base is like that, and that the top is the very top of that at 1,500 miles is the throne of God with the water of life coming flowing down out of that into a city. And that, to me, seems to be the most logical explanation. I can't imagine living in a cube. 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500 and all like that. But then they say, well, it can't be a pyramid. That's a heathen thing. That's the Egyptians. I don't know what it's going to look like. I do know this. It's going to be glorious. And it's going to be big. And it's going to be inhabited. And you know what? I'm going to be living there with you. And you're going to be living there with me. We might as well get along. Because we're all going to be living there together. Now I understand we'll have glorified bodies. Things will be a little different. We might as well get a head start. We're all going to be living in the same city together for all eternity. Thank God He's given us glorified bodies. The only way we could do that. All right, and the length and the breadth and the height are equal. Verse number 17, we'll conclude with that tonight, talking about the measurements of the city. And He measured the wall. He measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. All right, there's a wall that goes around this city, 1,500 miles by 1,500. That's a big wall. That's a long wall. And the Bible says that He measured that wall 144 cubits. Now, does it say that He measured and that was the height of the wall? It doesn't say that. But at the same time, it said back in verse number 12, and it had a wall great and high. So whether this is the height of the wall, I don't know, but let's think about it just for a minute. Verse number 17, He measured the wall 144 cubits. A cubit we're familiar with from the days of Noah and the building of an ark. A cubit was an old-fashioned measurement, and a man would measure it from his elbow to the tip of his middle finger. That would be a cubit. That is roughly 18 inches. Sometimes you got a longer arm guy with a bigger wingspan, it could be up to 21 inches. But for most people, that's about 18 inches from there to there, and they measure. I know working construction, I used to use that as a quick measurement on different things to get an idea how big. And it's accurate. It can work. And here it tells us that the wall was 144 times 18 inches. That's 216 feet. So the height of the wall around a city 1,500 miles high is 216 feet. That seems like a puny wall. 216 feet high when the city is 1,500 feet high. But again, if that city is in a climax, an angle going up together to the throne of God with the water of life coming down from out of it, it's not that tall all the way around. We've got a wonderful illustration of something with the gates around it and the wall that's that tall. Some of them say, well, that's not, because it doesn't say that's the height of the wall, that's the thickness of the wall. 216 feet. And then we don't know what the height is. But we know this. There's a border around that city. There's 12 gates that are guarded by angels. The church is dwelling within the walls of that city. And there's other people that are coming in and going out throughout the course of that city's existence, which is eternity. And as we continue in the book of Revelation starting next week, we'll look next at the materials in that city, in verse 18 to 21. And then finally, the members. The members of that city, in verse number 22 to verse number 27. We are going to live in the new Jerusalem. That's why we don't set our affections on things down here. But we set our affections on things above. There's some nice houses down here. We all admire them. We drive by and look at them. Personally, I've never seen one I wanted to live in. I've looked at the big mansions down here and said, I don't want the light bill. I don't want to be responsible for keeping all the lights operating in those bigger houses. But one of these days, we're going to get to a big mansion like that, that we don't have to worry about the lights. There is no need of the light. We'll get all of that later in Revelation chapter 21. We are going to live in the New Jerusalem. Our loved ones that have gone on have not seen this place yet. They're in a wonderful place. They're in a glorious place. They're in a place of many mansions. They're in heaven. This isn't heaven. This is the New Jerusalem. That's the upgrade from where folks are right now. And it's going to come down out of God from heaven in the time that Revelation chapter 21 is talking about. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.